about all kinds of stuff, Professor Dave Explains.
Now that we've looked at the government, society, and economics of the High Middle Ages, let's turn to the religious and ideological conflicts that were typical of the period, beginning with the increasing tensions between the Christian and Muslim spheres of the Mediterranean world. By the late 11th century, a movement had sprung up in Western Europe to come to the aid of Christians living in the Middle East, while the practice of making pilgrimages to holy places, including Jerusalem, which had been increasing in popularity, was made more dangerous by the growing Muslim occupation of formerly Christian areas. This expansion moved the Byzantine Empire to turn to Catholic Europe for help. The idea of a crusade to liberate Jerusalem and the Holy Land from Muslim control was also encouraged by a widespread belief that ever since the arrival of the year 1000, the end of the world was near, and with it the second coming of Christ and the fall of the pagan powers, which, as far as Europeans were concerned, included Muslims, about whose beliefs they knew virtually nothing. At the same time, there was a call for greater cooperation among Christian communities, the so-called Peace of God, which encouraged them to band together to oppose the Muslim world. This was the situation when Pope Urban II decided to call for a general crusade in 1095. The first reactions to this call were spontaneous and disorganized. A popular preacher named Peter the Hermit led a group that succeeded only in wreaking havoc on its way to the Byzantine Empire, where it was easily defeated by the Turks. Another group succeeded in attacking and destroying a number of Jewish communities in Germany, in one of the first large-scale anti-Semitic attacks in Europe. But over the next 3 years, there were several better organized campaigns, which resulted in the conquest of Jerusalem and the establishment of several crusader states in Palestine and Syria. These states survived until the late 12th century, when they were largely defeated in battle by the Muslim general Saladin, who became the ruler of both Egypt and Syria. There was another series of attacks at the end of the 12th century, in which the pagan populations of the Baltic region, what is now Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, and Finland, were forcibly converted to Christianity, while some of the Orthodox Slavs of that region were made to join the Catholic Church. These attacks were encouraged by both the papacy and the Christian kings of the German and Scandinavian countries that bordered on the Baltic states. In the years before the Crusades, relations between the European states and the Byzantine Empire were strained by the fact that around the same time that Norman soldiers from France conquered England in the 11th century, they also captured the Byzantine territories of southern Italy. This expansion was opposed by both the Byzantine emperor and the other European powers, and the Pope asked for the emperor's help in pushing the Normans back. At the same time, differences in belief and practice between the Eastern and Western churches erupted into anger on both sides. The Pope insisted that the Patriarch, the highest authority of the Orthodox Church, acknowledge the superior authority of Rome, and took advantage of the Norman occupation of Italy to force its Orthodox congregations to worship as the Catholics did. The Patriarch responded to this by closing the Catholic churches of Constantinople, and in 1054, the leaders of both churches excommunicated their counterparts, leading to a permanent break between them. Though the two sides cooperated somewhat during the Crusades, when Constantinople was the rallying point for Europeans heading to the Holy Land, there were also conflicts. In 1182, the Orthodox inhabitants of Constantinople massacred their Catholic neighbors, and in 1204, a group of crusaders attacked and pillaged the city, stealing many of its sacred relics. They then turned Constantinople into a Catholic state of the sort they had already created in the Middle East, and replaced its patriarch with a Roman Catholic. Constantinople remained this way for 57 years, until it was recaptured by the Byzantines and once again made Orthodox. The rulers of Europe themselves were often at odds with the papacy. Since the time of the Carolingians, they had been in the habit of appointing the bishops, who were the chief religious officials of their kingdoms, and the abbots, who were in charge of their monasteries. They often sold these positions to the highest bidder, a practice known as simony, and the men who bought them were the members of noble families who could not inherit their father's title because they were not firstborn sons. Wealthy landowners might also build churches and monasteries on their own lands, which gave them control over the priests and abbots who served in them. The Holy Roman Emperors of the dynasty of Otto I even reserved the right to appoint the Pope himself. Then in the 1040s, a series of popes were chosen by and from the members of a powerful powerful Italian family from Tuscany. The appointment of these men, who were considered totally unqualified, led to a reform in 1046, after which a series of respected German popes were chosen by the Holy Roman Emperor Henry III. Then in 1059, Pope Nicholas II issued an order that future popes should be chosen by an assembly of cardinals, which has been the practice ever since. But for about 50 years, during the late 11th and early 12th centuries, a series of conflicts broke out between the emperors Henry IV and his son Henry V on one side, and Pope Gregory VII and his successors on the other, over the right to appoint bishops and abbots. Many of the dukes who ruled the states of Germany used these conflicts to reduce the emperor's authority over them, and they fought a number of battles with Henry, who at one point attacked Rome itself in an attempt to install a different pope of his own choosing. In the end, the emperor conceded to the pope the right to appoint the church's representatives in his domains and to dictate their policies, while Gregory initiated a series of reforms, which included bringing an end to simony. He also called for ecclesiastical offices to be filled by election only, and required all priests to remain celibate. Another source of conflict was the inquisitions that the church launched against groups it considered heretical. During the 12th century, two of these groups became particularly popular in southern France and northern Italy, the Cathars and the Waldensians. Because they had their own ideas about the nature of God and the proper behavior of Christians and gave lay people the right to preach, which had traditionally belonged only to priests, the Pope declared them heretical and called on local bishops to set up inquisitions in order to investigate their beliefs. Though this was in theory, an attempt to set up a more rational procedure for dealing with people suspected of heresy, in place of the outbursts of violence that the secular authorities and the local population sometimes inflicted on them, the papacy had no control over its inquisitors, who might wield their power as brutally as they liked, or use it as an excuse to extort money from the people they were accusing. The political, economic, and social developments of the High Middle Ages were challenged by the events of the 14th and 15th centuries. The most disruptive of these were the Black Death, which led to the abandonment of many of the regions that had been settled in the previous centuries, and a war between France and England that lasted more than 100 years. But at the same time as these disruptions, an intellectual and cultural revolution, which would eventually be described as a renaissance or rebirth, was taking place in Italy. The cumulative effect of all these changes has encouraged historians to describe the 14th and 15th centuries as the late Middle Ages. So let's move forward and learn about that next.
Thanks for watching. Subscribe to my channel for more tutorials. Support me on Patreon so I can keep making content. And as always, feel free to email me, ProfessorDaveExplains@gmail.com.